Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday morning and a beautiful, what has been a beautiful summer season that I trust everybody is enjoying. Summertime is obviously a time for many people to take breaks. If you're a student, you're taking a break. If you're like me, I'm also on a nice break as I enjoy my summer holidays. So it's a time that we can kind of relax a little bit. It's a time for Brian to also take a little bit of a break from his speaking, and we're taking a little break, and we'll have different speakers all throughout the summer months, and for the next 2 weeks, we are going to focus on Jeremiah chapter 1. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to focus on Jeremiah chapter 1, the call of Jeremiah. We're going to do a little bit today, and then we'll cover the second part next week. So understanding that it's summer, I have to realize that there's going to be people who are here right now but won't be here next Sunday, and vice versa. There could be people here next Sunday who don't get to hear what's happening today, but they're all going to connect, and hopefully you'll be challenged by the real depth of Jeremiah's call when he's called to serve as a prophet. If there's one thing I want you to remember that's going to be a common theme throughout this week and next week, but particularly for this week, is those words, "Alas, Lord." Now, "Alas, Lord" is found in the NASB translation, and I'm going to be reading Jeremiah chapter 1, just the first 8 verses. And I'm going to be reading from the NASB, but when I refer to other verses during the sermon time, it'll be from the NIV. So, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest who were in Anath in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for these words of the prophet Jeremiah and these early experiences that he had in his life. Lord, we are thank you for the life of this young man whose life was transformed by his early calling to serve you as a prophet. Lord, he was a child, a young child, who probably experienced doubts, lived a life that is somewhat similar to some children today, but also very different from the lives that we all experience in today's world. Lord, through these words, Lord, help us to appreciate the depth of the experience that he had during his call. Help us to understand more deeply how his response, but also help us to be challenged by how he lived his life as a prophet. In your name we pray. Amen. Summertime can be brings monumental moments and memories in the life of children. Summertime might have been the first time that you rode a two-wheeled bike, learned to swim, caught your first fish, slept away from home for the first time, or maybe met a special friend. Summer is often time when we make special connections with family. And I want you to, this is a picture of my family taken at summertime. That's my Jacobs, which are my cousins, and our family. I know you might not all be able to see it, but the important theme in this picture is very important. It's the smiles. I want you to recognize the smiles. And in every family portrait, in this particular one, you have the kids, even me, who are smiling, and then you have some of the adults who don't seem to smile as much. So just keep that idea. Summertime is usually a time where you see kids, yes, in the best of times, they're having fun, they're relaxing, they're playing, they're just enjoying life to their fullest, and kids will tend to smile. For these many reasons, summer is my absolute favorite time of year. I trust that your summer is going well, and I want you to reflect briefly on your own personal childhood summer memories. In fact, I want you to just briefly share them with the people beside you. If you have a quick summer memory that comes into your, pops into your head, hopefully more good than bad, just briefly take some time to share it with the person beside you. All right, we probably need to wind up the stories in a little bit. But you didn't get to see that whole episode from my perspective. From my perspective, what I saw was cool, because what I saw was a lot of smiling, a lot of people happy, a lot of people expressing the joys of those summer memories. You might be watching World Cup football, and even though the World Cup teams are getting their usual amount of attention by all their fans, there is another soccer team that is also making a lot more significant and important headlines. As we speak right now, this soccer team that's been in a cave, 12 boys and their coach have been trapped deep in a cave. There is, as we speak, right at this moment, a worldwide rescue attempt is taking place. As of this morning, we believe that four of the soccer players have been rescued. This is going to be a monumental moment in the lives of these children, these young soccer players and their coach. In the midst of this dangerous situation, I could not help but take a notice of that, the picture of one of the players, and the huge grin on his face when he first saw the divers that have came to rescue him. This was weeks ago when they were first found. A big smile on his face, despite the fact that they've been in that cave for probably about a week, all by themselves. That's a pretty big smile for a kid who is definitely fully able to understand the life and death circumstances that he's been put in. Recently, notes from these children were shared with the world, and I was truly amazed at what these kids wrote. Please don't worry. Please don't worry, Mom and Dad. I'm only gone for 2 weeks. I'll help Mom with the shop every day I can. I'll be there soon. We're all healthy and strong, so there's much food we want to eat when we get out. We want to go straight home. This one is my personal favorite. Teachers, please don't give us too much homework. These notes, these messages that were written back to their parents and then shared with the world, speak to the resiliency of these kids. Somewhere hidden between these loving notes must reside their sense of fear. I've only been in a cave twice, and as I entered that cave, I definitely remember the recurring thought in my head, I don't want to be here if there's an earthquake. As we try and imagine the personal circumstances of these kids and their coach, we recognize that this is going to be a monumental moment in their lives and these kids and for the entire nation of Thailand. Think back to those childhood memories that you just shared. Not every child experiences a life or death moment in their childhood. As adults, our role is to protect kids from such experiences because they're too young. As an adult, we understand the responsibility we have towards protecting our kids. In biblical times, kids were marginalized in many ways. And this has not changed in today's world. We have child soldiers, illegal child labor, human trafficking of kids. Even in our prosperous and peaceful country of Canada, we have children who grow up without proper adult role models or caregivers, children who are marginalized or misunderstood because of their unique and special qualities, and sadly, there are children who grow up and are not felt or don't feel loved. Why am I focusing our attention on children? The experiences and memories we have as children shape and help us to prepare for our future. Jeremiah the prophet was a child when God called him. When we compare the biblical lives of children with our own childhood experiences, we will see some similarities and we will see differences. One brief example is the age of work. In biblical times, children were put to work at a very young age, perhaps even as soon as they could walk and carry things. That makes a lot of sense in an agricultural economy. Manual labor was very important. It was a very important way to contribute to your family. But today, we have age restrictions on work. In BC, you can legally work at age 12, provided that you fulfill a bunch of requirements. But child advocates are currently claiming that this is still too young, and say that kids should be closer to 16. Their argument is that kids cannot advocate for themselves and might be placed in dangerous work situations. Obviously, we want to protect kids from danger. What has changed in our world is what we consider dangerous for children. As a young child, we know that David spent a considerable amount of time by himself tending to his family's sheep. We have the heroic story about David killing both a lion and a bear in order to rescue his family's sheep. I wonder what the words of his father Jesse were like every morning when he goes to tend to the sheep. "Now David, look both ways before crossing the road and stay away from lions and bears. "Yes, father." Protecting children from danger and helping to safeguard their fears is a challenging and difficult task. Each child is different. Each child is unique and has different levels of risks and fears. Jeremiah is called by God at a young age. He himself refers to himself as a child or being too young. We don't know a lot about Jeremiah's upbringing. We know from Jeremiah chapter 1, the first verse, we know that he was the son of Hilkiah, who was a priest in the city of Anath, in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. There's a lot of details packed into those opening verses in Jeremiah. What would it be like to live in the community of the Benjamites? I'm going to speculate a little bit here. The tribe of Benjamin has a notorious history in the Israelites. There's a competing message this morning. They were known for their, the Benjamites were known for their warriors. King Saul was also known for his height and his success in battles. King Saul ruled his kingdom from Gibeah. Now, the town of Gibeah was the location where the members of the tribe of Benjamin raped and killed a woman. This incident led to tribal warfare within the nation of Israel and almost wiped out the entire Benjamite tribe. When Saul is made king, the tribe of Benjamin is considered least because of their fewer number and because their reputation is the tribe that committed such a horrific immoral act. The city of Anath was the city that was located within the land occupied by the tribe of Benjamin. It was one of the four cities that the tribe of Benjamin were to allocate to the priests. I've got a timeline sort of from the end of the book of Judges, which is where the Gibeah incident happens, all the way to sort of where we are in the life of Jeremiah. Hopefully the time, I don't pay too much attention to those dates because those dates were difficult to come up with, but it's just a brief timeline to give us a context of the area specifically where Jeremiah resides. During the time of both King Saul and King David, prophets helped to guide their kings by revealing to them what God wanted them to do. The spiritual health of the Israelite nation was partly determined by how well the kings followed the advice of the prophets. Under the prophets Samuel and Nathan, both King Saul and King David and the nation of Israel experienced a great deal of success, but they did also have some periods of setbacks. Now, let's fast forward to the start of Jeremiah's prophetic service. Jeremiah's father was a priest, and that's why he grew up in the city of Anath. As the son of a priest, Jeremiah would have been familiar with all those Jewish sacrifices. Since the city of Anath was given to the priests, Jeremiah likely grew up helping to provide the day-to-day needs of his family by working in the pastoral fields that allowed the priests to make a normal living. Priests were to minister to those that lived close to their towns. So in this particular case, the city of Anath, where Jeremiah's father ministered as a priest, the people that were coming to do the sacrifices, a lot of them would have been Benjamites. There's about 700 years between the time that the first priests occupied and served in the different cities and when Jeremiah receives his call. But by this time, most priests were not very serious about their job. As Jeremiah is called, the job and responsibility of the priests had been watered down. Some priests ate what was supposed to be sacrificed. By the time Jeremiah starts his career, he quickly became an enemy of the other prophets and priests. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31 reads, "The prophet's prophecy lies, and the priests rule by their own authority." Jeremiah's father Hilkiah was one of the priests at Anath. Since he grew up around priests, he would have been very familiar to the Israelites who came to do sacrifices as Anath and the other priests that served alongside his father. This familiarity with the ways of the priesthood and his close connections to the people made Jeremiah's job difficult and also made him very unpopular. Jeremiah exposed sin and wrongdoing. Jeremiah was not popular because other prophets told the people popular lies that would not reflect God's true judgment. Jeremiah's prophecies caused him to be labeled as a traitor. He was almost put to death. He was imprisoned multiple times and tortured. This was the life of a prophet of God. Needless to say, being called to be a prophet was a life-changing event for Jeremiah. But at the time of his calling, Jeremiah could not have imagined the hardships that he would face. Jeremiah's calling is like the calling of other prophets in that they hear the voice of God and speak directly with God. Prophets were often shown symbols in their visions. Both Samuel and Jeremiah started their prophetic careers as children. In the eyes of the Lord, age is not a restriction in doing the Lord's work. However, in Jeremiah's day, I wondered if his youth often prevented him from being taken seriously. Jeremiah even wondered the same thoughts during his call. As a priest's kid, God had already placed him in a position that would give him the knowledge and understanding of God's requirements. But Jeremiah really does not see that perspective. Jeremiah's immediate reaction to his call is very much the response that any child would give to a task that seems impossible for them. I'm sure some of these phrases might resonate with you. But Mom, do I really have to? I don't like math, and I'm not good at it. Why do I have to do that? Sarah's dad doesn't make her do that. In the King James and NASB translations, Jeremiah's first word is alas. This word is identified grammatically as an interjection. Now, interjections are words that express very strong emotions. The emotions that are expressed by an interjection can be excitement, sorrow, joy, wonder, pain, surprise, and so much more. Interjections are really a rich part of a language. But interjections change over time and can be specific to a particular age, language, and culture. Consider some of these simple interjections. Wow! Huh? Ouch! Ooh! Ooh! Hooray! Now, these are all very familiar to you all. However, there's other interjections that are more popular with certain age groups. For example, I don't hear some of the following interjections as much, even though you'll be familiar with them, I think. Gee whiz! Bingo! Eureka! Voila! Or my favorite, Cowabunga! Interjections are common expressions heard all the time. They convey deep meaning and emotion. Given that the word alas is not a commonly used interjection today, I think that the NIV's use of "Ah, Sovereign Lord" gives us some appreciation to what Jeremiah was thinking at the time of his call. His first word is an expression of very strong emotion. It is important to try and capture the sense of his emotion at the time of his calling. So to contrast things a bit, Jeremiah did not say, "Ew, Sovereign Lord." Jeremiah's response was not a response of disdain. Nor did Jeremiah say, "Gee whiz, Sovereign Lord." Jeremiah was not really expressing a sort of complaint. "Ah, Sovereign Lord" expresses some sense of wonder. The Message translation translates this interjection as, "Hold it, Master Lord, hold it, Master God," which fits, but it adds a different contextual meaning compared to our sovereign Lord. When we read Jeremiah's entire response, it is clear that he wonders how a child can do the job of a prophet. Jeremiah's human response is similar to other leaders who doubted their leadership skills. Moses thought that he was not a good speaker. Isaiah recognizes his own sin. Jesse thought that his son David was only a shepherd, not a king. Let's just read the calling from the NIV so that we can understand the context of where I'm going in our conclusion here. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go everywhere to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." We live in a world where we are always reminded of our human limitations. In fact, the limitations that we sometimes place upon children hinder them from reaching their potential. I've often heard adults say things like, "You know what, you're just not good at math, accept it." Or, "Well, if you don't like it, just don't do it." These sorts of negative affirmations can be carried on into adulthood. God's response to Jeremiah's childish worry is very direct. Our sovereign Lord does not see human limitations as an excuse for doing the Lord's work. In fact, he flat out rejects Jeremiah's worry, but he also provides great words of reassurance. Verse 8, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." The body language and intonation of an interjection are also important. What do you think Jeremiah's body language was like as he responds to his call? Do you think the words, "Ah, sovereign Lord," were said with a childish grin and a big smile? Not sure. Even though God had prepared Jeremiah by placing him amongst both priests and the people, Jeremiah is still very concerned about this appointment. Or perhaps he was concerned about having to work alongside some of his dad's priest's friends. Perhaps he's concerned about being able to use the right words. Perhaps he was concerned about the hard responsibilities required of a prophet. All these are legitimate concerns for a child who is given what seems like adult responsibilities. But again, God does not accept human concerns or limitations when it comes to doing the Lord's work. We might often think, "I'm not good enough," or "That's outside of my comfort zone," or "I really don't have the skills necessary," or "I don't have the qualifications." When you are doing the Lord's work, the Lord will be with you. That is the reassurance that Jeremiah receives to his childish age concern. As Christians today seeking to do God's work here on earth, what further reassurance do we require besides the fact that God is with us? I would like to imagine that after Jeremiah hears the words, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," that he responds with a big childish grin. What sorts of interjections do we use when we are asked to do the Lord's work? Really? Yikes! Good grief. What sort of interjections do we use when asked to serve the Lord on a team? But. Oh my. Oh dear Lord. Those immediate emotional reactions are sometimes even only expressed with our body language and often reflect our own self-perceived limitations, selfishness, pride, and even arrogance. These human qualities were prevalent in Jeremiah's time. Many of the priests were prideful and arrogant. The leaders refused to take action even when they knew what was happening around them was wrong. During the time of Jeremiah's call, the people had become callous towards the sovereign Lord. Personal welfare, fear, and concern were put ahead of the ways of the Lord. The worry and concerns that were expressed by Jeremiah's interjections were quickly comforted by God's assurance of protection and providence. There is a simple, favorite interjection that is best expressed by children. This simple interjection also provides us for a challenge for our own lives. The interjection looks something like this. Yes! That is the challenge that I want us to take home from Jeremiah's call. What is their proper response? Yes, we will always have human responses when God calls us into challenging situations or puts us in tricky situations. Or situations where we don't see what God has in store for us. We don't understand what direction God is taking for us. Or we just simply don't think that we are able to do what God has in store for us. But if we know, as God responds to Jeremiah with those comforting words, why cannot our response to God be, "Yes, Lord"? Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I just pray that we can appreciate the lives and exuberance in the life of a child. The expressions that children come to, the questions that they come to adults with, the curiosity and vibrant lives that they live. Lord, this morning we also pray for the lives of those soccer players and their coach that are still trapped in a cave in Thailand. We are thankful for the abilities and the skills that you've given to over hundreds and hundreds of people who are taking part in this worldwide rescue effort. Lord, we pray that you will keep all those safe in this very perilous rescue operation that has already taken a person's life. Lord, we trust that the skills and abilities that you have bestowed upon different people will keep these children and their coach alive. Lord, protect them and protect those people who are in this rescue operation. But Lord, we also come to you with our own human limitations, our own shortcomings, our own sometimes pridefulness and selfishness. Lord, we are, as a nation, as a church, are called by you to do great things, to do great work, things that may sometimes seem insurmountable. But Lord, help us to have that childlike response, that yes response, that exuberant response that comes from the joy of following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.